So that was a... It was a fake ending. That was a little Appalachian cooking lesson here from our friend Strepsada at vocalo.org. Pleased to be joined by friends from Outside the Loop Radio, Mike and Andy. Welcome back.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Good to have you. Good to be here. Good to have you here. I'm so used to doing your job.
You guys are the hosts. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for having us back.
Thanks so much for being here. It's cool. And you guys brought some stuff to play for us. And you requested some things from vocalo.org.
We did.
And, you know, the extra special thing happening today is we're right now, for us, in our place in the space-time Vocalo continuum, it's like middle of the afternoon, just after 3 o'clock.
Right.
But in another universe, another parallel universe, this is being rebroadcast. So immediately after we get off the air, this starts happening all over again. And in that universe, it's a little after 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
So in that parallel universe, it's almost, or a couple hours away from the big 12 o'clock throwdown.
It's like 45, 50 minutes away from the big throwdown.
Oh, okay.
We're almost there.
Yeah, it's cool. Doing the math, a colleague of mine had to do the math for me before. So this hour of Vocalo, you know, if you're listening to us live, I think the cool thing would be you're like calling the future right now if someone wants to call in with something to do. Like a little New Year's resolution, New Year's regret. We ask for people to say, like, what do you regret from this year? So this is your last chance. Your last chance here in this hour just before 4 o'clock, but it's also just the hour just before midnight to hit us with your New Year's regrets.
Of which Mike has many, many, many.
Many. Many. 2007. Rough.
Pretty rough. Well, we'll hear more about that in a little while.
Expectations are based on, I want something different to be happening, and I have an expectation it should be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this person should say this, this person should do this, I should say this, I should do this, this is the way this should go down. That is all based on expectation. So I differentiate expectations versus intention and agreements, because people go, well, wait a minute, shouldn't I have an expectation, you know, that my husband's faithful? I would say that's an agreement. Expectation is, are you talking about it? Or are you just assuming and blaming?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just wondering every day if he is or isn't? Or do you have an agreement? And based on that agreement, you're going to live by your values, and there's consequences to that breaking that agreement. You know, expectation keeps us in the wondering, keeps us in our frustration, keeps us in relationships we shouldn't be in, keeps us out of relationships we should be in, keeps us out of being satisfied and content with our lives and continuously being inspired. Instead, we're looking behind our back, wondering when life isn't going to work for us.
Forward thinker uploading some self-help to vocalo.org. What do you think? Are you guys living in expectations?
I don't know, Andy. I think you are.
I don't have many expectations. I just take life as it comes. You know me. I'm just a freewheeling
dude
kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's interesting, though. The expectations, you know, I never actually thought of it like that, but I thought all in all, 2007, despite what we were saying before, it was a good year.
Yeah?
I have no complaints.
Well, but what are regrets?
What are regrets? This is like getting into college philosophy here. I don't even know. Regrets, like, I guess I always thought of it, stuff that you wanted to do and you maybe had the opportunity to do, but said, you know what, maybe I'll put that off. Maybe I won't go ahead and do that, or I don't have any time. I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe a regret has a little procrastination thrown in there.
I can see that.
Kind of fuels the fire.
I can see it. Well, we're going to hear in a little bit about some folks who may, well, you know, before we go to regrets, let's just see what this sounds like here.
Summer, and that brings back nightmares of the Cup failure some years back when they were just 5 outs away from getting into the World Series, Master. This is a piece entitled Cup Failure or Oh, the Humanity, the Humanity.
Fan interference.
The Hindenburg had some wire, some cloth, some architectural structure that ignited, engulfed itself in flames before a national audience. Sound familiar? Oh, the humanity, the humanity. Replace the wire with pinstripes, the helium with shouts of, "He could have caught that!" The natural levitations of things. The ruins of the dirigible hovered overhead for a bit in tragedy before collapsing to the ground. But carry wood doesn't float. The Titanic wasn't up 3-1 before it hit an iceberg. When Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, he wasn't just 5 outs away from the walls to come a-tumbling down. At the moment when everyone sensed all was lost, every kind of ritual to rally the Cubs was tried. Men stopped beating their wives for an inning. Come on, Fred, sparing Sylvia should be worth at least a single. Believing it might result in a double, Bush pronounced nuclear correctly. Ben and J-Lo provided pictures of themselves to the Inquirer, thinking it would result in a triple. For the cause, even dogs of the world made a pact to stop smelling each other's butts for an inning, but just one inning. Can you imagine extending your hands and joy one moment for the rush of a foul ball, and the next moment those hands and your body are subjected to endless death threats? Oh, the humanity, oh, the humanity. The one constant in the ever-shifting madness of things is Cub failure. It is as endearing as a toy left over from childhood that we rummage for in the closet of memory. It can be used as an excuse for everything, from not performing in bed. Honey, what can I say? It's Cub's failure. But dear, it's the off-season. Cub failure is responsible for all the problems in the Middle East. Suicide bombers grew up on Cub failure. They were all headed for lucrative careers in investment banking until they experienced the Cubs. Then instead of strapping dynamite to themselves, they just strapped the highlight films from that eighth inning. And once the people surrounding the bombers got a look at the films, they just blew themselves up and there was no need for the suicide bomber to off themselves. In other words, Cub failure ended up saving the suicide bomber. Oh, the humanity, the humanity. It is all reminiscent of the famous scene in Apocalypse Now, when Brando, numb from human butchery and blood and the sweat-stained insanity of war, murmurs in the dankness of a dimly lit chamber, "Cub failure. Cub failure."
So any regrets now from 2007?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm a Cub fan, and I've been a Cub fan all my life, so I'm used to it. I think that's what it is. I'm so used to the, we'll string you along, we'll dangle the candy in front of the kid, then all of a sudden, gone.
Gone. Yeah. So nothing to regret. You would do it all over again.
I would do it. I actually had a pretty good year. Andy, I think so.
I think we both had a good year with our show.
Yeah.
We didn't maybe reach some goals we wanted to, but we're getting there.
There's always next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No regrets. No regrets. But there's always something more to strive for.
Just like the Cubs.
Thank you for equating Outside the Loop Radio with the Cubs.
We are doomed for failure. You say there's always next year.
Yeah, that's true. Well, see, you're used to it being a lifelong Cubs fan. That is the mantra that when you go to school, they teach you. There's always next year. Go Cubs.
My mother told me not to announce on the radio.
This is Vocalo.org, 89.5 FM, WBEW, Chesterton.
Get the habit. Stay tuned to this channel.
And we're here with the folks from Outside the Loop Radio. And look what else. You guys brought us Lady Twist.
Hello, girl. I'm telling you, I'm at the club. What? Okay, now, what's up, Uniqua? Blue Shine in jail? Again? Please, I'm sick of that. He our brother and all, but ain't nobody got time to be spending all their money on his every time he do something dumb. Whatever. What the hell is that thing in there? I mean, damn, every time he... Hold on, wait, girl, no, listen. Girl, why this dude just walked in the bedroom? See, I'm sure it's a man. I know a man when I see one. He got on this polo shirt and some baggy jeans and some... I know! What? Chief, and you pick which... What the f*** is a stud? Oh, hell no, this is moody.
I don't understand. You look like a man. But the sign on the door says that this bathroom is for a woman. Now I'm confused as you proceed to use the stall sitting down. Don't you got balls?
Oh, wait,
no. There's a stranger in the dish house and I'm trying to figure it out. There's no way you could be a female. You got to be a man, cause chickens don't dress like that. And they don't walk the way you do. A chick would ignore me, she wouldn't adore me. So I'm convinced there's a stranger in the fish house. Now I'm wondering, do you wipe or do you shake? When you done with number one, the suspense is pounding and f***ing up my day. The stall door open, I quickly turn and pretend to fix my hair like it don't stare, alright. But I wanna know what the f*** you are. There's a stranger in the dish house and I'm trying to figure it out. There's no way you could be a female. You got to be a man, cause niggas don't dress like that. And they don't walk the way you do. A chick would ignore me, she wouldn't adore me. So I'm convinced there's a stranger in the dish house. Quiz, tell me what a tampon is. How do you insert it? And in the end, is it worth it? Worth it? What could it be that I'm just too weak in? So drunk and hot, I see penises in the ladies' bathroom peeing. Oh. I don't know, but let me call you back. I got to figure this out. There's no way you could be a female. You got to be a man, cause these hips don't dress like that. And they don't walk the way you do. Oh, she would ignore me, she wouldn't adore me. So I'm convinced there's a stranger in the dish house.
Why are you right here talking to yourself?
Should we go?
Yeah, who else?
I thought you was the man.
Imagine that.
Why are you dressed like... Oh, never mind. You gonna buy me a drink?
No. I think you a little huffed up already, aren't you?
I might be.
I'm buying your shame.
Oh, whatever. You didn't eat fat. Oh, you ain't good for nothing. I'm back, boys. Back to the store on Long Island. Any takers?
Localista Lady Twist. With Stranger in the Ish House. Thanks, Outside Loop guys, for picking that. It's been a big favorite here at Vocal. We've played it like a dozen times since in the last month. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And what drew you to that particular tune?
It's just so bizarre and creative and unique, you know? I haven't really heard anything else like it. It just caught my ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of cool because you can... I mean, it's obviously not done in a professional high-end studio.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can, at your home now, do stuff like that, I think is right there pretty cool. And as you heard, you can layer stuff in there. And from a geek's point of view, which I am, thank you, Andy, it seemed pretty cool. So.
Yeah, well, here's some of your own stuff.
Oh, I love this stuff. Let's play it.
Outside the Loop.
We sent out a mailer because we saw this story that it blows my mind. And really, I hope this doesn't happen. Chicago might sell naming rights. The city has hired a marketing firm to explore the potential for selling naming rights and sponsorships as a way to bring in much-needed city revenue, according to the Chicago Tribune. The Daily Administration has awarded $285,000 to... in a contract to Octagon Inc. to examine what the city has to offer and by next spring produce a marketing plan that will attract corporate sponsors and advertisers.
Wait, how much are they spending on this study?
Almost $300,000.
Well, I know how we can make $300,000 really quick.
What's that?
Cancel that contract.
Probably. Jeez. Yeah, we need so much money. Let's not do this. But what they're looking into is, you know, sponsoring like the L. So like you could ride on Lowe's Chicago L or like go to Old Navy Pier. Which is insane. I think it just cheapens the city. But on the other hand, it's a way to make money.
Right.
But really, do we have to put corporate sponsorships on everything? We asked a lot of our – well, we asked all of the individuals on our email list to email us what they think of this proposal and maybe some, you know, some wacky sponsorships. Like what if this happened, take this to the extreme. What would this mean? Chris emailed us at info@outsidetheloopradio.com. He said, I'm guessing the Sears Tower will still be the Sears Tower. He's probably right. But you could get Red Bull and Absolute for Lincoln Park or Hams and PBR to sponsor Wicker Park and the East Village. And he's right. The hipsters love the Hams and the PBR. And, of course, everyone in Lincoln Park is drinking Red Bull and vodka.
Well, I like how he came up with sponsoring the entire neighborhood.
Has
the city even thought of that?
See, but why not?
Here's free advice right here.
You could go to PBR East Village. Wicker Park brought to you by Hams. He goes on to say in this email, the names of interstates could change too. Imagine the morning traffic report. Inbound Starbucks has a wreck at Austin. The outbound FedEx is running smoothly. But ironically, the Metamucil has all lanes at a stop. That's from Chris.
Oh, wow.
John emailed us at info@outsidetheloopradio.com. Now, he says, nothing wrong with McDonald's L, if you ask me. If it keeps me from paying $3 each way, I'm okay with that. Now, see, there you go. That's an interesting point. I think he brings up a valid point. A lot of people are sick, you know, especially about this whole transportation issue, about hearing this doomsday scenario. Oh, my God, we're going to pay $3 for a ride. So if it's called the McDonald's L, well, that's great if it keeps it to $1.50.
Interesting.
Ideas for naming stuff in Chicago from your friends from Outside the Loop.
Yes,
the friends of our friends.
Friends of friends. I think it's interesting. It's kind of scary. I mean, that we need the money that badly, and now, hey, let's go. Like I was saying, you know, the red stripe, red line. You know, I mean, it's kind of catchy, but on the same token, it's pretty freaking scary, I think.
And you're committed to it. I mean, how long would that last?
Right, as long as the contract would last.
As long as Wrigley Field.
As Dan knows, we're great businessmen, as we were talking about off of the air. So we really have no idea. All we know is we don't want to have to ride the red stripe, red line to Old Navy Pier.
This is Steve Rhodes from the Beachwood Reporters Meetup Affairs Desk, where we bring you all the latest news on Chicago's meetups. These are Chicago's newest meetups, and this is for real, ladies and gentlemen. I am not joking. I have not made any of these up. These are actual, real, new meetup groups in Chicago. Independent Strategies for Assisting Individuals with Insomnia. That's a new meetup. You can join them if you want. The Chicago Romanian Language Meetup Group. The Southwest Suburbs Divorce Support Group. The Chicagoland Hunting Meetup Group. The Millionaire Project Meetup Group. There's one I'd like to hang around. Add good dating targets there, I suspect. The Northwest Suburb Sushi Meetup Group. The Non-Toxic Avengers of Chicago, which sounds like the coolest meetup group ever. The Chicago Access and Allies Meetup Group. The Lombard Network Marketing Ambit Group. The Skokie Prosperity Meetup Group. I'd kind of caution against that one because I sense they're probably looking for prosperity as opposed to that Millionaire Project, which has prosperity. The Gourmet Circle Tasting Club. The Greater Porter County Mike Huckabee for President Meetup. And the Greater LaPorte County Huckabee for President Meetup. The Crystal Lake International Relations Meetup Group, because we know Crystal Lake is a hotbed for international relations. The St. Charles Bible Study Meetup Group and the Bartlett Anti-Aging Meetup Group. They're doing some great scientific work there in Bartlett in stopping aging. This has been Steve Rhodes from the Beachwood Reporters Meetup Affairs Desk.
Steve Rhodes from the Beachwood Reporter, as selected by our friends from Outside the Loop Radio.
Steve Rhodes, good man.
Love Steve Rhodes.
Another part of the whole kind of online, he's going multimedia with us here.
Yes, he is. He runs a great site, beachwoodreporter.com. And if you're into anything having to do with Chicago and what's happening on kind of the underground, go to beachwoodreporter.com. And also, great commentary, too, on stuff that's happening in the news that we see.
Right, it's like Steve Rhodes News and Comment.
Right, he broke the story about the Chicago Reader laying mm-hmm. off their
staff. Yeah, he did.
You
guys followed right up on that, and here we've got a little bit from it right here.
It was a sad day in local journalism when we found this out, that the Chicago Reader had fired Tori Marlin, Harold Henderson, Steve Bogira, and John Conroy. This is like the Reader laying off four of their all-star writers. Where is Chicago journalism headed, and what does this recent move by the Chicago Reader mean for Chicago journalism? Those are important questions. Harold Henderson is on the phone with us here on Outside the Loop. Again, the former staff writer for the Chicago Reader. Now, Harold, did you see this coming when you found out last week? I'm assuming this was last week that you found out. Did you see this move coming?
Yes.
So just like that, you knew that this firing was imminent.
I knew something like this was going to happen. The Reader had been losing money for a while. The bonuses went away. And it's pretty much standard operating procedure that when things go bad, you can't spend money you don't have, at least not for very long. I don't know quite how to say this, but people's taste may not be as elevated as you think it is. And they may settle for something less than the best. And someone who's interested strictly and only in maximizing their return may figure that they can cut the editorial budget by what must have been a huge percentage, but they came to the conclusion that they could put out a paper that was good enough. It wouldn't be as good as the old one, but they didn't care about that. And I think that's the calculus we're looking at. It's not all or nothing, and it's always a judgment call what you think people will stand for before they actually quit picking the thing up and pick up something else. And again, I don't know how to say this without sounding wrong, but they made a calculation that they could do okay without us.
So, Mike, Andy, you guys spoke to Harold Henderson at much greater length than that. We only had time for a little bit of it there.
Yeah, we talked with him for about 15 minutes, and we on our show on Outside the Loop Radio, we could only air about 7 minutes of that interview, and that was obviously a much more abbreviated version of the interview. But it's on our website, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, for the full interview with Harold Henderson. And really, we wanted to put that up there because we felt that it is important that people hear what he has to say. He was a great writer. He is a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
He will go on to continue writing in various places, he thinks. He's not too sure, but I think the readers of The Reader kind of lose out here.
And what did you get from him kind of in the long, over the course of more of that interview about what he thinks this means kind of over the long haul for journalism in this city?
Well, you know, what he was talking about in that clip about the future of the paper, there are cuts everywhere. There are budget cuts across newspapers. I mean, we've read about the Tribune, mm-hmm. and then the Sun-Times, of course, cutting a chunk of money. And it hurts. It hurts journalism. It hurts readers. And I think that ultimately, like I said, we are the ones that pay the price. And yeah, everything's going to the internet, but still,
they need to get their sources somewhere.
Yeah, blogs that are picking up reporter stories. I mean, you have to have reporters,
right? Google News isn't writing stories; they're picking them up from other places.
So you have to have experienced reporters and people that know how to get a story, tell a story, and get to the truth.
I'm curious about what folks who listen to this right now have to think about this, have to say about it. I mean, is this, you know, one way of thinking about it is like, well, Vocalo, this is the, you know, everybody listening right now can participate and be the journalism journalists of the future, journalists of the present, and so that's it's one question we've got. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, maybe you want to call us, give us a ring. If it's midday on New Year's Eve day, you can call us in the studio at 312-893-2993. Otherwise, call the hotline. It's 888-635-1112.
Gentrified Lincoln Park by Kate Duva. Dad got a vein tied off so they could conceive me. The white population grew by one. In the privacy of his home, Dad liked to talk like he was black. "Look at them brothers and sisters," he said to my pregnant mother as a group of children swarmed to our window. "Did you find your names?" he'd ask the kids, opening the door. "Oh, good. No? What's your name?" "Precious? I like that. Okay, honey, I'll make sure you're on the list next year." In our storefront window, a window that once displayed boxes of rice and beans and detergent, stood a life-size Santa Claus, old white man with the bushy eyebrows. Santa wore spectacles and held a quill pen, and when he was plugged in, his hand swept slowly up and down his list of neighborhood children, as if considering. "You better be good. Santa's still got time to change his mind." Our mottled sidewalk was host to all kinds of motherly warnings. Dad took the list downtown to a calligrapher every December to add the new kids' names, and he watched the list evolve from Devontae's, Jose's, and Precious's to Caitlin's, Matthew's, and Scott's. "Don't buy south of Armitage." The white's mantra faded, the bulldozers invaded, and when we trick-or-treated, instead of being greeted by fat ladies in sweatsuits with stained carpets and handfuls of pennies, The doors opened on vast marble foyers, orchid arrangements, and slender aerobics enthusiasts bearing big baskets of brand-name candy. Dad paid $36,000 for the building. 3 decades later, developers would offer him $1 million just for the privilege of tearing it down. Bought when he was a bachelor, the house was his baby. He tore the store apart, turned the front room into a private tavern, and threw legendary parties. He bought a compact disc player and compact discs. Bob Marley and Al Green, Willie Nelson and Linda Ronstadt, blood, sweat, and tears. My mother was reeled in at one of these parties. She brought carpeting, quality cabinets, and a pink hominess to the house, and she danced with me daily on top of the bar. Dad built a dark room in the basement. We spent summers in the leafy backyard, painting funny faces on the rocks. I had a nanny from Belize, Nellie. She was plump and pretty, the color of brown sugar, and had an earthy, musky smell that my mom lacked. She indulged in all my games. If I wanted to be the farmer, she'd be the cow. I remember walking past the old tire shop with Nellie and telling her, "I'm glad I'm not black." I don't remember her response. I was 4 years old. The dry cleaners that also sold statuettes of Elvis Presley became a towering Springfield-style bank. Dime stores, shrimp houses, and taquerias yielded to sports bars, bistros, and boutiques. The neighborhood is safer now, say the people who've lived there forever, but it was only last year a woman got pulled into a skeletal mansion to be and raped to death. In a neighborhood where no one hangs out on their porches, you have no witnesses. My generation was the last generation of kids who were allowed to go play out front by ourselves. One of our games was drive-by shooting. It was a phenomenon we'd learned about on the news. I swept leaves, pretending to be an elderly Asian lady, and every time a car went by, I dropped to the sidewalk and screamed. The Rude Dudes. That was our code name for a crew of black boys that walked through our neighborhood. They never did anything to us, but we didn't like the flicks in their eyes, like they were pissed off, like they would step on us if only we were ants. As an adolescent, I threw my old crayons into the street in the middle of the night. Cars smashed them flat and the asphalt was splashed with color for weeks. I left a bloody tampon in the street in hopes of shocking the neighbors, people who showered twice a day, who outsourced their gardening and their childcare and their dirt. But where would I rather have been? Some neighborhood where I would watch cop lights flash blue on my bedroom ceiling at night and walk past liquor stores with grated windows and vacant lots filled with trash? Gentrification creates these polarities. It's a migration forced on the Indians by the colonists, echoing in our cities. Money spreads like wildfire, pushing out families and choking communities that took generations to grow. But I don't know that story so well. My story is the story of those who stayed. My father in his Guatemalan vests and top-notch running shoes, a hippie yuppie who burns incense and loves golf, and Santa Claus, who emerges from the basement every year, his curled list long with names of children who don't believe in him anymore.
How We Gentrified Lincoln Park by Kate Duva.
It's the time of the season.
The program you are about to hear is an experiment in radio broadcasting. You will hear people from many walks of life.
What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Is he rich like me?
We feel the answers were basically honest.
Tell it to me slowly.
The questions were understood.
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for
need any more help, consult the yellow pages.
This is Vocalo.org, WBEW Chesterton, 89.5 FM.
is called Breathing by Bocalero JT Letterly. My friends Mike and Andy from Outside the Loop chose this for us.
It makes you, I don't know, it makes me want to, like, swallow, because, you know, he's doing that lip smack thing. So I start salivating, you know. I don't know what that is, but...
Welcome to the spoken word extravaganza. Who's used extravaganza in the last week in a conversation? Anyone? It's because we're original, right? No cliches.
Moon goddess I am, keeper of the night, revolving around the sun, energized by his solar light. Feminine energy contained within, mover of Earth's waves. Messages of power to women I send, their essence controlled by lunar days. And behold the sun, attracted to me, and I to him as well. We perform a dance cosmically, the people subdued. Our spell. Husband he is, a part of my energy source, and goddess I am to him eternally. We copulate through an ecliptic force, giving testimony to creation's divinity. We dwell in darkness and are enveloped in blackness, thus we rest in the bosom of God. Bearers of light and givers of life, conductors of nature's rod. And through divine course, I have been made the force to keep the night while making love to he whom holds day. For moon goddess I am, engulfed in blackness, universal truth of feminine energy, I parlay.
I gave my love a chicken, it had no bone.
Right now in Chicago, actually, there are a good number of people who raise their own chickens.
I have hens, and my best benefit is to get fresh eggs every day. And they're also fun pets. And then they put themselves to bed at night, so it's really quite easy. Currently, it's illegal to slaughter a chicken. Everybody's pretty clear on the fact that you can't kill a chicken in your own backyard.
Linda Nellett is an activist, and she is a Chicago chicken owner. Linda, thanks so much for giving us some time here on Outside the Loop.
Chicken.
That was our own friends right here at Outside Loop Radio, who are now here on Vocalo.org. A little excerpt from your bit about chickens in Chicago.
That was a cool little remix there.
That was, yeah. Those chicken sound effects were a nice were a nice touch. And it's something that really that came out in the news, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, that one of the aldermen, Alderman Lane of the 18th Ward, wanted to introduce this ban saying you can't raise chickens in Chicago, which got us to thinking, wait a second, people in Chicago raise chickens? So we did some calls, we made some emails, and we got Linda on, and she told us all about how she loves to raise chickens at home and how, the benefits of doing so, and it's like a whole other world that we didn't know about, raising chickens here in Chicago.
There you go. Well, you know what time it is, guys. It's a little before 4 o'clock for us.
Yeah.
But in the future,
right,
for people who are listening to the first rebroadcast of this show, it is a little before midnight.
People are getting crazy.
On New Year's Eve. Yeah. People are getting crazy. People are listening to Vocalo. It's getting all. I mean, the people who are listening to Vocalo at this moment are totally digging it. This is the height of revelry. We are your New Year's station. So you brought us a little bit about New Year's. We wanted to play that you pulled from our website about New Year's resolutions.
Right. We heard this bit about New Year's resolutions and how to get them.
Yeah, so let's hear a little bit of that as we lead up to the big, big moment.
Welcome to our 34th Big Success Show. Today we'll talk about New Year's resolutions. Don't just make them, get them.
The Big Success Show with George and Mary Lynn.
Can you believe, Mary Lynn, another year is just about gone?
I cannot.
And every time I say that, I feel so old. Because I remember old people used to say, you know, man, I can't believe this year's over already. Now I'm saying it too.
Oh, you look old. So no, I'm just joking.
But the thing is, obviously, New Year's approaching. We're all making resolutions.
Every year, make resolutions and break resolutions. That's a tradition.
Well, and this year, let's resolve to not just be goal setters, but to actually be goal-getters.
Goal-getters. Hey, that's what the two G's stand for in big success.
That's exactly right. And there's a great example of goal-getting from a man named Ben Franklin. And Ben...
So, Mike and Andy, what are you guys laughing at here? What's funny?
I didn't know that the two G's in big success, I didn't know what that was all about.
Goal-getters.
Goal-getters.
There they are.
My goodness, what can't you say about Ben Franklin?
He did so much. I mean, we know him for, you know, electricity and the little kite thing.
the kite.
Declaration of Independence. He made France like us.
Yeah, now that was an order, I bet.
I know. We need him to come back from the grave. Geez, an author.
Poor Richard's Almanac.
Yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on.
He definitely led an interesting life, right?
Yeah. And he had such diverse interests.
And as a fairly young man, he set out to be a perfect person. And so in order to be perfect, he developed a list of...
So they're like laughing at this idea of perfection. Is that true?
Well, I feel kind of like I haven't done anything. I got to be like this Ben Franklin guy.
Well, let's hear more.
13 virtues.
13. You know, I'm lucky if I can keep one or two resolutions. He's like, oh, let's see. I've got 13 virtues I want to accomplish this year.
One thing I find interesting is, you know, out of all 13... the one that he had the most trouble with, according to his book, his autobiography, is order, organization. And, you know, it's like, there's this guy that does all these things, and the one thing he's having problems with is organization. And for some reason, I just really like that fact.
I can relate. So, but what he tried to do, which is kind of interesting, he tried to do them all at once. And unfortunately, he failed miserably.
Yeah, matter of fact, I love his quote. This is straight from his autobiography. And he said, "While my care was employed in guarding against one fault, I was often surprised by another. Habit took the advantage of inattention. Doggone habits. Inclination was sometimes too strong for reason.
Old habits are hard to break. So yeah, even 200 years ago, even for a man as great as Ben Franklin, he had a hard time sticking to what he wanted to do.
Yeah, so what he did was he developed a system. Each week, he decided he would work on one goal. Now, he kept all of them in front of him, but each week he focused on just one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it was he recorded his results on a single sheet of paper for the week.
And what I think is interesting is that on this paper, the marks that he made weren't for when he accomplished them, but it was for the ones he didn't accomplish.
That's right. And so he's trying to start the day and end the day with a clean sheet of paper.
Hmm. I like that because, to me, you're going to think about it more when you look on a piece of paper and say, oops, I didn't do that.
Well, the other thing is, I think...
Okay, where are the resolutions?
That's a great question.
I kept waiting for them.
They really love Ben Franklin, though.
Okay, let's see more. Give another minute.
Since we're all maybe, there's a little laziness perhaps in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
If I do what I'm supposed to, I don't have to write anything down. Yeah. But if I don't, I have to take action.
I have to pull out that sheet of paper. I resolve to lose that piece of paper. All right, so coming up, we're going to talk about what we can learn from Ben Franklin in this nifty little system of his.
There's four things we can learn from Ben Franklin's system. First, don't expect what you don't inspect. Develop a system that keeps your goals and your results right in front of you. Next, intention plus attention equals manifestation. You set the goals, pay attention to what you set, and you're likely to get them. Third, focus on one goal at a time. Keep on.
Okay, I can't wait anymore for the resolutions because it's almost time. It's almost time. Where we are at the moment in the space-time Vocalo continuum, it happens to be like about a minute before. But in rebroadcast time, it is about midnight. This show is going to rebroadcast on a flip. And so maybe listen to us right now at the height of your New Year celebration. We need to honor that moment right here and right now. So resolutions. We got like a minute left here. Mike, Andy, from outside the loop, your guest from Vocalo. What are your resolves for this year for Vocalo?
Resolutions. You know, I'm the type of guy, I don't have New Year's resolutions, to be honest with you. But I resolve, I think, to make outside the loop something, what should I say, Andy? Something like we should make it bigger.
Bigger and better.
I feel like I should have innovative. Some sort of
revolutionary
fight the man resolution for outside the loop. But I don't. So we'll just go on going on. And hopefully Andy has like a bunch of resolutions to make the show better.
It's all top secret.
Okay.
Okay. Here it's like 30 seconds. You guys ready? We're going to start playing some music in a minute. It's going to be totally cool. This is how it goes. We got like 20 seconds now. So here goes a little sonar submarine going. There it goes. Pinging off the seconds. We got a little crowd here actually in this studio. We've got plus one. We've got members of my family, Amber Hawk Swanson. We're going to give it out. Okay, 8, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There
we go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's drink some beer. Let's drink some beer. Just one day celebrated in every nation. We don't work the next day. Oh man, what a plus. At midnight we'll be screaming. Just pop the wine open and tries to stay up. Oh, oh, oh.
89.5 WBEW Chesterton. Vocalo.org. What'll you hear next?
From Vegas to the hood, we're gonna keep on drinking. Just drink, you know you should, so let your mind keep on thinking. Till everyone looks good, we're gonna keep on drinking. Get drunk because you could. Please do not bother.
Bother.